serving is not what we do, it's who we are. Manners are not something that we do, it's who we are. It's not just this outward performance, it's because we've been made new, we've been made whole, we've been made different. And we transition from just faith to a life of faith and works. Be saved by works, but to celebrate the salvation that's come upon us by the work that has been done for us on the cross. Well, hey, the year was 2015, and we did a series called Mind Your Manners. And so we're going to jump into that today. Maybe you know some different manners, you know, get the door for someone, hold the door for somebody, right? Don't lick your knife. I don't know if that's one, but I remember hearing that that was one. It's kind of weird, right? Why would you want to lick your, well, I know why you'd want to lick your knife, you know, it depends on what's on it, you know what I'm saying? But you've got, what do you got? You got do unto others as you'd like to, for them to do unto you. Pick up after yourself. That's a good one. You know what's better than pick up after yourself? Leave it better than you found it, okay? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, leaving it better than you found it. How many of you guys have said that, leave it better than you found it? How many of you guys have heard that recently from your wife? Yeah, leave it better than you found it. That has been our theme here at Rocky Mountain High School since we've been gathering here for almost 9 years. Leave it better than you found it. You know, coming in after a busy week of school, we want it to be good for them as they head into school the next Monday. What an awesome team that we have here. Can we just give it up for Rocky hosting us for so long? We are so grateful for them. And we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. I'll jump around a little bit, but that's kind of the key verses we're going to be in is Colossians 3. Leaving it better than you found it. See, picking up after yourself is just your mess, right? But a true servant goes that extra mile and makes it happen. When it comes to manners, they start on the inside, they work their way out. It's something that you believe then begins to determine how you behave. You realize that? Like what you believe determines how you behave. Colossians 3, verse 23 is where we're going to kick it off. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong that he has done, and there is no partiality. So what it's saying is what we do actually matters, and there is someone that we serve. We're to work heartily as unto the Lord, and it says the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrongdoing. That means, hey, if we choose to serve ourselves, there's a penalty for that. Remember I talked a couple of weeks ago, it's not good and evil, it's God and evil. There are two things, God and evil, and for evil works, a wrongdoing work, there is actually a penalty for that. There is judgment for that. So how we serve, why we serve, who we serve, the good that we do, the bad that we do, we ultimately give an account for this life that we live. The Lord knows our heart. The Lord knows where it's coming from. The Lord knows if we are performing. So Keith, are you saying that in order to please God, it all comes down to what I do for him? Well, it's already been done for you, okay? For by grace, we've been saved through faith. So salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ. It's his grace that he's given to us. So when people say, I found Jesus, I don't know if anybody talks like that, but I just did, okay? Maybe you said, I found Jesus. I don't know how you say it, but you didn't find him. He never lost you, okay? Now you may say, I surrendered my life to Jesus at a specific point. Maybe it's, hey, I have trusted him with my life. He's the one that does the choosing. He's the one that does the work. He is sovereign. He is over all. He moves in our hearts and we respond to his movement. That's what it means to surrender your heart to him. So it's not by works that we've done, but it's according to his grace. It's according to his mercy, okay? Why? So we won't boast about it. We can't brag about it. We can't say, look at what I did. Not by works of righteousness that we've done. So is Keith, come on, is it faith or is it works? It's both. You know, James says it this way, faith by itself does not have works. It's dead. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you're just gonna hear it and it's just gonna be in the head, it's dead. That rhymed, I didn't mean to. You just stared at me. Just give me something. Give me something. No, no clapping because that will puff me up. But just like a little chuckle, like a little something, okay? Chapter 2, verse 14, James says, and James is all up in this, okay? He says, what good is it for my brothers if someone says he has faith but he doesn't have works? Can his faith save him? It's both. Faith without works is dead. James also says in James 2:15, if a brother or a sister is poorly clothed, you see that? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, okay, you're going to see people rolling around in here. They're going to have holes in their jeans. That's by design, just so you know, okay? I think I'm the only one in my house that has jeans that are put together properly, okay? And it looks like I paid not much for them, okay? But that's beside the point. My kids, they just wear them. It's freezing out, and they're like, I'm cold. I'm like, it's because you have no material on. Anyways, I'm mad. I guess I'm feeling it today, okay? So if a brother or sister, not any of my kids' brothers or sisters, okay? But if there is somebody out there that's poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So you see a need, and you hear a need, and you go like this. Be warm. Be filled. First off, that is really weird. Okay, never do that. It is strange. It's weird. It's weird. I don't know if I've said that yet, okay? But think about this. Be warm, be filled. What are we supposed to do? Let me meet that need. You know how many times I've heard people say, you know what, they hear a need, they hear a need. Hey, we need to pray about that. The answer is like in your bank account. It's really simple. The answer is at Fred Meyer, okay? You can solve your own problem instead of going, we need to bring this before the Lord. No, you need to bring it before the cashier. It's really easy. It's really simple. You go and you see the need, and then you meet the need. You don't pray about the need and hope that, like, God's going to, like, God can meet every need, right? He his eye's on the sparrow. Like, he's got it all figured out. He can provide. He's got it all. But he gives things to us for us to meet a need. And how many times do we go, you know what, I'm going to think about that a little bit, which thinking means forgetting sooner than later, is what it actually does. Meeting the needs means solving the actual problem. Our faith without works is dead. See, many of you maybe heard this, right? It goes from the head to the heart to the hands. Head to the heart to the hands. So something comes into our head, it flows to our heart, and then it comes out of our hands, right? A manner is something that's on the inside that moves its way to the outside. It's a belief that becomes a behavior. The heart's the hinge. The heart is the hinge. People say something like, it's like 18 inches between heaven and hell. It's 18 inches between it just being a head knowledge of who God is and Jesus, or it's all about knowledge than the heart. 18 inches, and I'm like, some people have longer necks. Maybe it's like 19 or 20, you know, around, like, it's like, okay. And then some people are like, small torsos, you know, you're like, I don't know, it's 14, you know, and that's just how my mind thinks when I hear people proclaim stuff like that. What I do know is the heart's the hinge, okay? The heart is the hinge. It comes into our head, it moves to our heart, and then it should be displayed, not be warm, be filled. How about, dude, I bought this for you at Fred Meyer. You're cold. There was a guy who was telling me the other day, he went through the McDonald's drive-thru, and he's in the drive-thru, and he sees a girl there, and he's like, are you cold? She goes, I'm freezing. And he's like, okay. He went to Fred Meyer and bought her three sweatshirts, all black, because he knew that that's what they would allow to be wore. And he thought, I'm going to get her some sweatshirts. And he got her two different sizes in one and one in another. And he's like, and give it to your friends. And he went back through the drive-thru and got another Coke and then handed it through the window. He wasn't like, you know what, we need to put this on prayer list. I'm going to wait till Sunday. I'm going to put it on a prayer list. I'm going to talk about it at my Bible study. I'm going to bring it up at work. You know, the other day I saw the worst thing. Worst thing. We have many of the answers. It's about transitioning our faith from a head knowledge to our heart to where we do something about it. What happens is we get busy. We get distracted. Faith without works is dead. We claim one thing, yet we do another. How many of you like concerts? How many went to Milli Vanilli concert back in the 80s? Seriously? Dude, this is you? No, you had an itch. Okay. Anybody else? That's just two services in a row. Glory to God. I love this church. How many of you got the Milli Vanilli cassette tape? We're doing greatest hits. You want to talk about greatest hits? Girl, you know it's true. Girl, you know, girl, you know, girl, you know. See, in 1989, on July 21st, that happened. It was not the remix. It was not the girl, you know it. It was supposed to carry into the next line, and it went, girl, you know it, girl, you know, girl, you. And then they're like, oh, we're lip syncing. And one dude runs off the stage. That's exactly what happened. But they had 19 months of fame. You know what the sad part is? They actually could sing. Did you know that? They could actually sing. They have the look. I mean, if you could see that, you can see that, right? I can see that. Yeah. Whoa. Easy. Whoa. Whoa. I'm not getting in the middle of this, but maybe you should grow your hair out, bro. Okay. I would, but it would be a skullet. So it ain't happening here. But they had the looks and they were models and their voices were good, but the producer said, let's make them better. So a lot of people put a lot of talent and money into something that looked a certain way until like the hard drive skipped. 19 months of fame. July 21st, 1989. I remember all of this. I remember Girl, You Know It's True. I remember Blame It on the Rain. I remember I'm Gonna Miss You. Do you guys remember the Girl, You Know It's True, the New York Subway extended mix? I don't remember that, but it was longer of lip syncing is what it sounds like. And I should give this to you because you were at the concert and this could just like really complete your life. But here's the deal. Like, I got this at a White Elephant gift thing and I am waiting to give it to somebody else. Okay. So I'm going to keep this. They said one thing. They did another. The producer said, hey, if your voices were like this, instead of just doing what they could have done and been successful. So you don't hear much about them later. They tried to do a comeback album. They were doing all these things. Somebody is doing this. They're modeling. They're doing some different things. And you just don't hear much. Here's the problem. Your life matters for eternity. Their influence mattered for 19 months. 19 months, they were at the top, right? And we get a chance to work heartily as unto the Lord for all the breath and all the life that he gives us. What a gift we have for him. It says in Colossians 3:23, work heartily, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. The Greek word there is psuche. Psuche, which means your very soul or your breath. It's vital breath inside of you, this breath of life. It's the human soul. That's what the word heartily means. It's your very soul. It's what God has placed inside you. Your soul is the distinct, I love this, distinct identity. It's a unique personhood. It's your individual personality. And you know there's an Old Testament word. It's phago. This Old Testament word phago, it means your soul. And listen how it's divined and they're connected together. The soul is the direct aftermath. I love that. When I read that in the commentary, I was like, I'm writing that down. The direct aftermath. Aftermath. Of God breathing or blowing his gift of life into a person, making them an ensouled being. So when Eve was created, she was formed out of the dust of the earth. When you've got Adam's rib and then God breathes life into her, an ensouled being. Your gift that you've been given from God, when you work heartily as unto the Lord, that's that. It's God put it inside of you. So when you work diligently, you work hard, you go for it. You're exhausted, you're tired. You're the first one there. You're the last one to leave. God has ensouled a gift of work inside of you. I was youth pastor for a long time. We had a lot of fundraisers. And some of those students worked harder at working than just, or harder at not working than just working. Work with me here. How hard are we working? Are we working as unto the Lord? Are we working as unto our energy level? Are we working as unto everybody else around us? Are we working as unto somebody else at work or somebody else that we might be competitive with or another believer or the status quo? See, when you've been ensouled, and you have been, because God breathed a gift inside of you, when you've been ensouled with this gift of the ability and the opportunity to work heartily as unto the Lord, wow. There's a lady that serves here at Rock Harbor, and she's on our staff team, and many of you may know her. Her name's Roxanne. If you work in our kids, you probably know Roxanne. And I was doing a devotion a couple of weeks ago, and I was using this verse as part of like what I was challenging, encouraging the staff team. And it's a challenging time in the world and even on staff. And I'm like, let's work as unto the Lord. And I get done sharing in the staff, and Roxanne comes to my office, and I'm sitting there, and she knocks. She's like, hey. I'm like, hey. She's like, that was a great devotion. I'm like, thank you. Stepping partway into the doorway because you're making me uncomfortable. She's like, yeah, okay. So she comes around and she goes, is there any other way to serve God? Is there any other way? And she is smiling, but she's a flipping ninja. And she is like speaking into my soul, and I'm like, stop smiling at me. I'm in a trance. And she is just joyful, and she's like, is there any other way to serve the Lord? Thank you for the devotion, Keith. She sneaks off. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, that's really what it's all about. To be a savage servant like her. But having figured it out, all that matters serving heartily. No, I'm okay with serving half-heartedly. I'm okay with serving as much as it takes to get it done. And if it was mine, then I would work a little bit harder because this is the level to which I serve when it's my stuff, but when it's someone else's, it's good enough. If it's direct benefit for my family, if it's a direct benefit for something directly in front of me or where I'm going to get compensation, I'm going to be noticed by others, I'm ready to serve heartily. As unto men, as unto those who might notice, but to serve as unto the Lord, it's just a couple of words, but oh my goodness, as unto the Lord. That's why when Jesus was giving this Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:41, he says, if someone asks you to carry their bag, go the extra mile. It actually says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 with him. Here's why. See, Roman soldiers could come up to anybody at any time and ask them to carry their bag. So they're carrying this bag, they're ready for warfare, they're carrying a bag somewhere, they're on some kind of a job. They could go up to a Jewish person and say, carry my bag. And then under law, the Jewish individual was required to go 1 Roman mile, which is 1,000 steps. 1, 2, 3. It wasn't that. 1,000 steps. And Jesus says, go 2. Go 2,000. Why is 2,000 better than 1,000? Because it's twice, right? What happens in the second mile? What if you're truly serving the Lord and you're following the commands of Jesus? You're going to crush that soldier with kindness. You're going to grace them. You might have a different conversation in 2 miles than you could have in 1 mile. They're going to be surprised. And there was a rivalry amongst the Jewish people who were under the Roman rule. And all of a sudden someone goes 2. And it's not like 1998, 1999, 2000 and chuck the bag down. For them to go, wow. Whoa, 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 I don't need to go that far. Stop right there. You sure? Yeah, stop right there. I was sitting in my pickup this morning, which, by the way, for some of you would call it a truck, but it's called a pickup. Anyways, I'm sitting in my pickup this morning, and I felt like the Lord was saying, you know what that is illustrating, Keith, is a rivalry. And you need to tell the church today that some of you need to rise above a rivalry. It didn't have a ton to do with this. We're talking about going the extra mile, right? We're talking about leave it better than you found it. But I know the holidays are coming up. There's lots going on. There's things that are happening in your homes. There's things that are happening in your life. And there might be a rivalry that's going on. I want to invite you to go the extra mile. I want you to rise up above it in this season that we're in, because grace is something that's not easily found right now, that you might actually surprise someone with your grace. They're expecting a certain answer from you come holidays. They're expecting a certain attitude from you. Why? Because they give the same attitude. They're expecting a certain behavior. What if you rose above the rivalry? Okay, that's what I got out of my pickup. Okay, so Proverbs 6:6 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." What does the ant show us, right? Diligence, preparedness. Getting things ready so that this, so when the season comes, the ant is prepared. You ever seen a lazy ant? No, you ain't never seen one. What do you see? I mean, you might see a slow ant because you just sprayed it with stuff and it's like, you know, or you see the ant that's like the seasons are changing and it's cold and it's like kind of slow because it's like, I'm gonna die. I've worked hard, you know? And then you step on it and then it's dead, okay? I don't know. The ant's diligent. The ant's prepared. The ant can carry 100 times its weight. The ant's not clocking in and clocking out. The ant's not looking around and seeing, you know why? The ant's not going, oh, well, I'm only going to work as hard as that other ant, because all of them are working. There's no comparison because they're all working diligently. That's what an ant does. And here's the thing. We were created for diligence. We were created for planning. We were created to carry, believe it or not, 100 times our weight. Now, it may take a lot of trips, okay? But we have been equipped by God, the one who created the heaven and the earth and everything that we see, in 6 days. And then he rested. And he said, it's good. God created in his image. We're made in his image. So we have this work inside of us. And some of you, you feel unfulfilled. Are you fine with 19 months of fame, of performing, when you actually have some talent inside of you that can make an impact for eternity? What about being willing to do work when no one's watching? Are you willing to do work even when no one's watching? Let me illustrate this for you. Some of you recognize this cart, and some of you were here 5 years ago. I run a group, it's a fan page, and I believe that we can change the world one shopping cart at a time. I'm joking. I don't have a fan. That's a total joke. But what you do with the shopping cart when you're done with it actually says a lot about your character. Let me show you some of the infractions I saw at Fred Meyer just a couple of days ago. First picture, please. Look at this heinous act. Look at this. Just right there. Was it windy? No, but could have it been? Yes. Sinful. Next picture. Look at this. Hey, let's give it up for touching the cart corral. We touched the cart corral. With a little buggy, you could have lifted it and sat it over the top. Or you could drive it around. Nope, I wanted to see if I'm a good aim. I did it. Look at this next one. Let's give it up for the curb people. That's convicting, isn't it? It got kind of quiet. Is a curb a corral? Just really quick, I need to know. Is a curb a corral, yes or no? No, it's not. Thank you. Some of you are like, I was here 5 years ago and I felt convicted ever since. Was anybody here 5 years ago? How many of you felt conviction in your soul when it comes to that? Yes, one person punched somebody. I like it. You're on my team. My brother-in-law lives in Yakima. He will go and confront people when he sees it done. I'm not at that level. He's in like this whole like anger group management thing about carts. I say this because it's a simple act, right? It's just putting something back. It's leaving something better than you found it. And all those illustrations I showed you. Can we go to the next picture? Because I'm getting nauseous. Just even seeing that. Thank you. God, I started twitching. I was gonna go fix it for him. It's little things, right? It's just simple little things that we could go the extra mile. We could return it better than we found it. I know it's raining, I know it's this, I know it's that. But look at our life. Our life's the same way. It's a simple act of something. A little bit of planning, guess what? You park a little closer. You park in the right direction. You park right next to it, so it's easy to put that away. A little bit of planning, guess what? I can carry these with my two hands that the Lord blessed me with. And I'm going to leave the cart inside and I'm going to go out. Enough about carts. I will leave this here so it can convict you, okay? If this happens to be you, I'll leave it there for the rest of the message. But there's an ant and there's a sluggard. The sluggard talked about in that passage is one that's like a little bit of sleep, a little bit of rest, and the next thing you know, the day's gone. What just happened to today? A little bit of Netflix, a little bit of chill, right? A little bit of me time, a little bit of I need to do this, a little bit, and the next thing you know, without a plan, without preparation, without diligence, time goes. You know what Satan can't do? If you know the Lord and your faith is in him, your faith without works, it's dead, but it's active. He can't touch your eternity, but he can steal your days. He can take your minutes. And we don't aim to be sluggards, but the next thing you know, we find it. And the poverty that it's talking about, it's not just talking about this financial poverty, it's talking about relational poverty. It's talking about situational poverty that can come easily upon us. Bankrupt relationally, bankrupt spiritually, sleeps too much, loves to make excuses. Proverbs, the sluggard is making an excuse, and the sluggard says, what if I go outside and there's a lion? That's like middle schoolers. I would totally get up, but what if there is a barracuda outside of my door? You know, the Wolverine. Like, it's a fictitious thing that takes place in our mind that justifies us to continue in the sluggard-type behavior. To make excuses to justify our own behaviors. And here's the thing, I mean, most of you here, I mean, you're from Idaho. You got work ethic, right? Like, you got it. Like, nothing's given. Everything's earned. And honestly, like, within Rock Harbor, we have a crazy, active, diligent church. Servants' hearts. Like, just incredible group of people that God has blessed us with. But how could we become a little bit better? So you may say, like, I don't like to sleep in, and it's not about me, and I give, and I'm sacrificial. But what might the Lord be moving in your heart to change in a little bit in your trajectory? Just a little bit to become more like him. Just reveal in me, God. I want to have a teachable spirit. I want to be better for you. The sluggard does not have a teachable spirit. The sluggard will make excuses. The sluggard knows it all. But God may be moving in your heart to say, what do I need to do? What can I possibly do? Because verse 17, it says, whatever you do, do it in word and deed. Do it in your words and in your deeds. Out your mouth and in your actions. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on verse 18 through 22, but I'm going to invite you to spend that time. Every week we give weekly reading. It's the entire chapter 3 of Colossians for this week. But 18 through 22, it's all hard work. It talks about wives submitting to your husbands. It says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. It says, dads, do not stir up your children towards wrath. It says, children, obey your parents. It says, bondservants, serve not as men pleasers. I mean, you know how hard those things are? That is really, really, really hard work. And there's a serving survey that's either listed in your program if you're here in person. It's in the link below wherever you would be watching. It's in the app as well. And you can evaluate. Take some time. How are you serving at work? How are you serving in your community? How are you serving in your church? How are you serving as a husband, as a wife, as a as a dad, and notice, like, husbands and dads get a double, like, they get a combo. They get a, you know, they get the right cross and they get the uppercut, you know, coming at them, because sometimes we honestly need it. We need to be reminded a little bit more. And we're supposed to lead in a way as unto the Lord. See, that word servant, it comes from this word doulos. It's a slave or a servant. It's the example of an employee and an employer. It's that relationship. Because when we see bond servant, or we hear the word slave in Scripture, many times this was not like taken as we know a slave would be now and in our day and time, and as we talk about slavery, this was actually a choice that someone made. And here's how the choice was made. They were permanently devoting themselves to do the will of another. They were devoting themselves to do the will of another. So when we get the chance to say, serving is not what I do, a servant is who I am. Jesus was a servant, and we get to serve. What an opportunity we have in our life to use the very breath heartily as unto the Lord, not to please men, but as unto the Lord. See, here's where the message transitions, and it has to become very practical. See, when we talk about head, heart, hands, the heart's the hinge. See, if we just give a message that's like, oh, that made sense. I like that. Oh, that was good. Oh, I can't stand Keith. That whole cart thing ticked me off. My wife's been telling me that for years. I felt guilty about that. Just if it stays here, what needs to happen is it's got to come into our hands. Remember, we behave in the way that we believe. So to make this very practical, I want to talk specifically, that's why we've got the serving survey throughout the week, but I want to talk specifically about what it looks like here at Rock Harbor, because here's the deal. When I talk about extra mile leadership, when I talk about the second mile, do you realize that we've been a portable church for 9 years now? Do you realize that there are some people that are the first ones here and they're the last ones out? They're twice serving. There's many people that attend one and serve another. We don't get out of here till 2 o'clock every single Sunday. We've got people that have been serving faithfully for almost a decade of this church, week in and week out. We have people that, you know, as the Bible talks about the tithe, that we would give first our first fruits to God. There are people say, hey, I'm going to give my first fruits, but I'm also going to give to our time, the facility that is just 2 miles from here. To see how God has done this and his faithfulness in it, it's amazing. And today we get the opportunity to talk about what it looks like to serve at Rock Harbor and to show pictures of those environments in the new facility that you'll be given the opportunity to serve at. For some of you, you're already serving, so you're going to be like, oh, that's where I'll be on Sunday. When you came in today or the link below, there is this pamphlet that talks about serving at Rock Harbor. I want to talk through a couple of these things and get to show off some of these pictures. This first one I want to talk about is our worship and production. This is the auditorium in the facility. There are some chairs in, and I'll tell you what, they're awesome. And when you stand up, they don't make noise. It's so cool. It's like great. They're heated, which is cool. They cool your drink or they warm your coffee. They don't, okay. Most of that stuff was a complete lie. But this is the auditorium. It shows you that. We've got our worship and production. There's a couple of teams within there. There's service media people. There's lighting, backstage assistants. There's worship team, as we see each and every week. First off, by the way, there's not just like one Sunday worship team. There are 5 during the week. We have 5 different environments where worship is done throughout the week. We have creative and video. Look at the creative suite that you see there. This is in the back. This is the brains of the building. How many of you guys found out about Rock Harbor online before you ever made it into a service here? Okay, like half the room. Okay, half of the room. It's these people that put that stuff together. That's everything. You see creative team, you see video team, you see the merch store, lots of stuff there, camera operators. Then we have our kids, our kids team. Many of you serve. I see some of your our kids shirts even right now during this service. Multiple environments. I think there's like 17 rooms. There's a couple large rooms, a couple small rooms. There's a kid check area. These are all ways that you could get involved. What's great about the kid check area, first off, there's a couple of them, but this is keeps it work really well with how parents come in and how they enter the auditorium. And it's a way to host and greet, because many of you, you remember your first time you checked in anywhere and you're like typing stuff out and you're like wanting to get kids on time, and you get to be an encouragement as somebody checks in that way. It's everything from early childhood, preschool, elementary, group leaders, lots of different things there. Then we have our student ministry, Slingshot and Anchor. What you see here is the auditorium again. Phase two is where we will have our student wing. We don't have that yet. We haven't broke ground on that yet. It's sooner than later, and we're excited about that. But Anchor and Slingshot, our middle school and our high school ministry, will meet in the auditorium in their specific times. Lastly, we have our guest experiences, and there's a lot. I mean, there's like 200 pictures of this, because these environments cover a lot. This is our parking team, our welcome team, our host team, first impressions team. It's what we know as the tent, which will be the info center. So lots of different places throughout our facility. Our safety teams, this is our security team, medical response team, and you can see all these things listed as part of, not the security or safety, but as part of our host team is ushering and greeting, being part of handing out programs and things like that. We also have RH Cares and RH Handy Cares. The Cares is we provide meals for people. It's our Cares ministry, meeting practical needs in prayer and doing things, different projects. And we have Handy Cares, which is coming alongside someone that can't maybe do something at their house. We come alongside, or a need we find out. We get a surprise. We get a bless. We get to encourage in lots of different ways with that. And so you see this, total leaders needed, 393. That's what we need as we move into a new facility. I know for some, you've taken a little bit of a break. I'm asking you today if you would like information about one of these ministries or multiple, okay? Like if you're like, hey, I'm not sure, I'd like more information about what the details look like. On our next step card, you just have to write that there. It's number 6. I would like more information. I'd like to serve in this capacity in the new facility. You can write those ministries or that ministry down. For some, you're currently serving maybe as a group leader, but then you're going, hey, I have time. I could do something on Sunday. We're making a strong ask right now because we're preparing for everything that God has ahead for us as a church. As people come in for their first time, as people come back to church, it's a chance for us to do what we can directly in front of us and continue that heart of service that Rock Harbor has carried so long and so faithfully. So we want to encourage you to take time for this, whether you're online or you're in person, place it in the next step box, or you can submit that form as well. Hey, let me pray before we close in song together. God, we just praise you because your word is good, your word is clear, your word is faithful, and we know that we've been given breath as followers of you. You've given us a call, you've given us gifting. It may be that of availability, willingness, it may be in a specific area of ministry. God, our heart is open to be used by you. Let us look at our families, let us look at our children, let us look at our homes, let us look at our friendships and go, how can we serve? How can we rise above our rivalry? How can we go the extra mile? For God, you did that for us. You went to the cross. You were a servant of all. You didn't come so that others would serve you, but so that we graciously get to give back as you gave to all of us in your only Son through his death on the cross. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Hey, please stand with us.
Just one time, everything changes, everything changes. With one word, the world rearranges, the world rearranges. Oh, by one lie, death was defeated, death was defeated. this one love has paid for my freedom, paid for my freedom. No other hope, no other love, my one, my all, Jesus. No other God, no one above, you're all I want, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, you're all I want. This one. Everything changes, everything changes. No.
Keeping that 6 feet in between you and the people around you. We're so glad that you were here, and we'll see you next week.
Service isn't something we do. A servant is who we are. And that's an amazing message today, a challenge for us, no matter where you're at, whether you're a husband, father, spouse, anything, parent, anything. You're a servant first. And so, as Keith said, challenging you to read Colossians 3 this week. Again, thank you so much for being here. Enjoy shopping or using a shopping cart at any point in the future, because this message is going to be right here haunting you as you walk it back to the cart return. But anyways, again, from everyone here at Rock Harbor, thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you next week.